really talking about the benefit. You know, it's not just because it's rice. It's what are you going to get out of this? Why should I buy your product over the 1,000 other products that are out there?
Exactly.
Hey everyone, it's Norm Ferrara, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the e-commerce and Amazon FBA podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about using emotional copy to improve conversation or conversion. Conversation too. We're also going to be touching on how to sell the product, not the category, Amazon's use of Q&A in ranking, and how do you get positive reviews when you're selling an empty box? Yep, an empty box. All right, welcome to another Lunch with Norm, the e-commerce and Amazon FBA podcast. All right, today we're going to be discussing using emotional copy to improve conversion. Our guest has been selling on Amazon since 2015, and him and a few, I think three friends from college, got together, started a business in retail arbitrage out of their house and turned it into eight-figure private label business. Now, this is a first-time guest, and I'm talking about Ben or Benjamin Weber, and he'll be joining us in a second. But first, a word from our sponsor, and I guess that's me reading a live ad. So just one sec. Here's the ad. Just got to pull it up. All right. Hey, Amazon sellers ever faced with account suspensions, async hiccups, or IP headaches? Introducing Seller Basics, your Amazon accounts guardian, which is $99 a month, or code NORM and get it for $89 a month. Seller Basics offers a dedicated team to shield your business from these challenges. Plus, this membership offers free legal consultations from seasoned e-commerce attorneys, and there's no long-term contracts, and you can cancel with just a month's notice. You can view Seller Basics as your Amazon account's health plan, and you can check them out at sellerbasics.com. Now for the disclaimers. Seller Basics is not an insurer or law firm. Consultations come from independent firms. Results may vary, and membership is needed before events leading to claims. As well, terms apply. Okay, now let's back to back. You can relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the episode. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks for having me.
How come it's taken so long to get you on?
I don't know. I just kind of show up places randomly, so it seemed about
I'm, time. I'm glad you've shown up after 580 plus X episodes. I know we run into each other at events, but yeah, like you should have been one of the, you should have been on here a bunch of times, but okay, we got you, and I'm happy about that. And I think we've got a very interesting topic today, and that's, we've talked about it a little bit a long time ago, but emotional copy and, you know, how that can improve conversion. So why don't we stop there? What the heck is emotional copy compared to what most sellers are putting out there right now?
So a lot of people are just focused on keywords, 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 and making sure that they're everywhere in the listing, and they just want to show up in as many places as possible. And that there's certainly a time and place for that, and there's certainly products that that makes sense with. But it, once you start using emotional copy to make the buyer feel what they're going to get when they buy it, then that's when the keywords actually help. Because if you show up 100 million different places and you don't convert, then it's useless. So it's going through and figuring out who your buyer is, understanding your buyer, understanding actually why they're buying the product. Like one of the kind of jokes that we have, not jokes, I guess, but one of the examples that we use whenever we're training people for writing copy for our company, it's if you're selling instant rice, are you selling rice or are you selling having dinner faster so that you can work on other things and not be, not have screaming kids you have to deal with while you're trying to cook something that takes an hour? Or like, what are you actually trying to buy with that? In that case, you're trying to buy time. So focusing your emotional copy on the time savings and what you're actually going to do when you're selling is how we would want to sell a product like that.
Yeah, that, I think that's so important that you're really talking about the benefit. You know, it's not just because it's rice. It's what are you going to get out of this? Why should I buy your product over the 1,000 other products that are out there?
Exactly.
Yeah. So can you give us a different example where a feature might be used in copy rather than a benefit? Some people get that confused.
As in like in a positive way, or what do you mean?
No, it could just be like in a, let's say it doesn't have to be an Amazon title, but taking a feature and showing the difference in the copy between a selling a feature, rice, or white rice, you know, or whatever that would be, and then the benefit of the white rice. And that's a really bad example, but I think you get the gist.
Yeah. Let me think. So trying to think of something that's not a product that I'm selling, but like if you're selling a paper coffee cup, for example, mm-hmm. There are a bunch of different, I mean, it's a paper coffee cup, you can drink out of it, but there are a bunch of different ways you can market it. You can market it as this is something that you can take to work with you so you don't have to carry or wash a cup over and over again. So you're saving time on washing cups. It could be something that you're tired of dropping cups and breaking things. You're tired of leaving them places. There are a bunch of different reasons for why you might want to buy a paper cup, none of which are that you actually want a cup made out of paper.
All right. And I just see that Simon says, what's in it for me? And that's absolutely right as well.
Exactly.
What's in it for me? One of the things that I know pre-podcast, we were talking about selling the product and not the category. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So that kind of basically goes into exactly what you're talking about before. A lot of people are going to go in and say, because they're trying to get the keywords in there about a product, and this is going a little bit into the semantic SEO that everybody's getting excited about and has been getting excited about for the last several months, or I guess almost a year now. But it's talking about, well, if you're selling the category, you're saying like, this is a paper cup, you can drink out of it. And saying in your listing, this is a paper cup that is really good for drinking out of, is selling the category. If you talk about how it has heat resistant walls so you won't burn your hands, it has a double rim so that the lid is going to stay on firmly, it has something that makes it anti-spill, the bottom is double sealed so that the liquid won't melt through it, that's selling your product versus the other products in the category. Selling the category is saying, here's a cup you can drink out of. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to differentiate what the benefit is that you're offering, not just from, because if somebody's searching for cups, it doesn't matter if you have, like, you could put Apple iPod in there, but you're not actually going to rank for that. You're not going to sell it, and people searching for it aren't going to find you. So you're trying to differentiate from the people that are finding you on those same keywords. And the way you do that is through the emotional copy and the emotional photos and everything else that you're putting into it.
Yeah, we've had people on talking about the images. So the copy's one thing. Yeah. But matching the images to the copy. And I guess right now, I was talking to Kevin about this, the algorithm is picking up what's on the image to make sure that that matches the copy. Have you been doing anything like that? Have you been running the algorithm, or have you been checking your images through the different websites out there or apps to make sure that it shows what it's supposed to show?
Yes. Yeah, you have to make sure if you're selling a can that Amazon doesn't think it's a jar.
Exactly. Exactly. And there might be some other things that it sees in the picture that you can pick up and use in your copy.
Absolutely.
So that's something new out there. And why don't we talk about keywords, for example. When I started back in 2013 on Amazon, it was keyword stuff.
Yes.
It was take the highest search volume and keyword stuff every phrase into the title, into the bullets, and that changed. Now, what are we looking at? When you're looking at putting together that copy, mm-hmm. what's Amazon picking up?
I mean, that's actually, I mean, it goes into some of the QA that I was talking about, or the questions and answers that I was talking about earlier. But somebody a few months back told me that they had seen an Amazon Sciences paper, and I've yet to be able to find this Amazon Sciences paper. So I can't say this with 100% certainty, but I've tested to see if it actually balances out. But that Amazon cares more about the keywords that are in the Q&A section of the listing than they do the actual keywords in the listing after about 6 months. And I've yet to be able to find anything to back this up. But as I go, when I was looking at the Amazon Science papers to try and find that, I did find that there are a number of articles and a number of papers that they've put out that are talking about the QA section and how that is impacting ranking, how that is impacting sales, how that's impacting conversion, how that's impacting where you're going to show up. And so one of the things that I've been testing out and doing is being very, very strategic and specific whenever we're answering the QAs. And we've seen massive spikes in ranking, massive spikes in sales on the products that we focus on. With that on. So I think it's not just a, how are you setting up your listings? It's how are you handling every aspect of the listing, whether that's the title, the back end, the bullets, whatever keywords you're hiding behind images and in images and everything else. And then also what you're putting into the QA. And as far as the actual setup of the listing, I mean, we're no longer doing the repeat words over and over and over again. It's try to create keyword strings where if you can get a keyword where, or a string where words one and two are a keyword that goes to, or go together, words three and four go together, and words one, two, three, and four go together to make it so that you're still getting the direct exact matches, but you're combining things so that it's not, they're not as spread out anymore.
All right. So I just want to talk to the listeners for a sec. Look, this is one of the hot topics right now. And it's a question that people are always asking about how do you structure or how do you create the copy nowadays for your listings? So I'm sure you've got questions. And you might not want to ask the question because you'll say, oh, this is silly. I guarantee you there's somebody listening right now wishing that somebody would ask that question. So throw us those questions. We want to hear about them and we will answer them. And we got the right guy on the call today. So going back to the Q&A, I love this Q&A. I love the ability not only for you to spin it like a press release, so it's always in your favor, that you're the seller answering it, and that you can do it written as well as video. And if you don't have a face for video like me, then you can always hire somebody, you know, to respond to them. But is there a format when you're sending out that those group of questions? Is there a format that you want to answer it in? And also, how many questions are you trying to put in each listing?
As far as the format for answering, it's that goes into the semantic side of things where I'm trying to answer it in a way that reflects on what a customer may be asking for when they're searching for a specific keyword.
All right. Now, could AI, like if you went into ChatGPT or Claude, could that assist you?
Oh, 100%. I mean, that can help you find your avatar. That can help you find your what they care about. That can find everything. Like AI can get you, I would say, 99% of the way there.
Now, have you heard of Phrase.io?
Yes.
Okay, then you know about the what they'll do, which is different than a lot of these other apps, is you type in a keyword, and it'll go out in a sort of mind map. It'll find all the questions that people or blogs that people have written that are ranked number one, but it's like a mind map. It's like Answer the Public, but yeah. They do it with number one articles, and you can go and you can send those articles or summarize those articles, send them to your writer to write, and then it'll rank it. Not a lot of people know about phrase.io, and Kelsey, it's phrase.io. And if you haven't checked it out, check it out. It's one of those apps that's very underrated and underutilized. Now, going back to the structure, you were saying, we were just touching on that. So the structure of the questions. So you're going through, you're checking out maybe use phrase or whatever, seeing what it comes up with, and then you're asking the questions. Now, are you mentioning brand names? Are you mentioning your competition? Anything like that? Some people say they will not, and some people say they do.
Yeah, that is not something that we do.
Right. Okay. And now, how many questions do you ask?
It depends on how many questions are already there. Because you're fighting for relevancy with the other questions as far as what is actually going to show up and what people may see. Though Amazon, I think, just changed the way that you look at Q&A anyway, so you have to go search for it now. So it's made that way harder. But
yeah,
we'll probably do, like, if it's a new product, we won't overwhelm it. We'll probably do 5 to 10. If it's something that's been out for a while and there are already a lot of questions and answers on there, then we'll do like one a day spread out over a month.
All right. That's pretty solid. We do pretty much the same. We try to get at least 10 for new launches out there. And a lot of people don't do it at all. A lot of people can't find the questions nowadays.
Right.
You know, they've made it impossible. You got to find the little field, you know, and then type it in. So that's kind of interesting.
I know, and just the way that they're now kind of merged with the reviews when you're actually looking for it on the product detail page, like they're just making it harder and harder.
And why? I mean, right. I think the questions are pretty useful.
Yeah, especially if they're like, this is Amazon saying they're trying to make everything as easy as possible for the customer, and they take away the only place you can see the responses of other customers.
Now, I know that you mentioned about why do you love beer advertisements? And I'm kind of curious, is it because of lifestyle? Why do you like it?
So I think that it's such a competitive market that when you look for where advertising is going to go over the next 10 to 15 years, it comes back to what the beer ads were doing now. So if you look back to the like early 2000s and what Budweiser was doing with the Budweiser Frogs or the What's Up commercials and all of those, that was viral marketing before viral marketing was cool. And you look what was happening a few years later, everybody's talking about that. Thank you, Kevin.
There he is. He exists. That's probably right. His VA, though. You know, he doesn't do anything. I'm joking. He's the only guy I know that does like 99% of his own stuff.
And it's all good.
Yeah, I don't get it. But anyways, there you go, Kevin. And by the way, Kevin, I gave a shout out to our AI webinar that's coming up on May the 1st. So fingers crossed. I know it's going to be awesome. Ben, you should join us on that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right. Okay, so let's get back to these beer.
Yeah, sorry. So then after that, I don't know if you've seen any of the commercials where they talk about cold filtering beer.
Right.
Do you know what that means?
I have no idea. It just runs through a cold pipe. I don't know.
Basically nothing. It's like it's a made up marketing term. But if you go onto the blogs, there are people who are violently defending how amazing cold filtering is versus home brewers who are saying it's terrible. But they have these massive audiences that they've built up, and they've made these terms and made these phrases that people just fall in love with. and they insist on keeping it. Cold filtering actually is worse for the taste of beer than pasteurizing it. So it's also cheaper. So what they're doing is they've convinced people that what they should do is buy a beer that tastes worse and is cheaper for them to make, and people love it. And there's other examples like that, like where they claim to use only fresh spring water or things like that, which is stuff that every beer company is doing. So we decided we should see how this works on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And we, at the time, we were selling plastic straws. We no longer sell them because it's not the greatest environmental thing that we can do. But we sold a lot of them. And we put at the very front of our title, BPA free. Do you know how many plastic straws in the world, like what percent of plastic straws in the world are BPA free?
100%.
100%. But everybody was looking. I was like, oh, wait, these are BPA free? Does that mean that nobody else's are BPA free? We got to get these to protect our kids. And so everybody started buying our straws, and we flew up. A couple of months later, everyone was saying BPA free. But for the time, like from the time that we started selling it to when we added BPA, what we were selling, and then we added BPA free at the front of the title, we increased by over 20 times how many we're selling. Jeez. Just by putting BPA free at the front of it. And I'm not saying you should go into all your listings and put lead free at the front of it. Like that's not the suggestion here, but yeah. Like looking at the things that other, and this from the beer commercials, looking at things that other people aren't marketing, that's a way to differentiate yourself, even if it's something that everybody's doing, but it's a way to make yourself sound special and look special. It's still a way to be very, very successful.
You know, and on that point, you have to be very careful what you put into the listing. So BPA yes. free is one thing, but I'm in the beauty category and I sell a lot of different beauty products, and we represent some brands as well. And one of the things that I see and I hate is that people say they're organic. And you know, especially if there's a combination of oils, it can't be organic. As soon as these oils touch, they're no longer that. But people are saying that they're organic, and they can get into a ton of trouble if they don't have the organic certification. But they still do it because they don't know enough not to do it.
Right. And like, if you're going to claim something, research it and make sure that it's real. Like, don't just make up false claims.
Right. That'll get you into a lot of trouble.
Yes.
Hey, look, we're getting close to the
even bigger than Amazon trouble.
Bigger than Amazon trouble. So that's big. So we're getting close to the bottom of the hour. And if this is the first time you're listening, we got a bunch of listeners on here right now. If this is your first time listening, at the top of the hour, we do something really special. And that's we give a prize away. It's called the Wheel of Kelsey. If you want to enter, just put in hashtag Wheel of Kelsey, or you can tag two people and get a second entry. So today's giveaway, Ben, what do you got?
I'll give them their choice. So I'm doing some strategic advising with a company called Clear Ads, which is an advertising agency, and they're doing a full service offering where they're helping with managing an account, helping with rewriting listings, photos, all of that. And I'll give away 3 hours of that, or I'll give away a full hour consultation with myself, whichever they prefer.
Oh, that's great. All right. So you could either go in for the listing or the audit, or go for an hour with Ben. Both are super. So hashtag Wheel of Kelsey, tag two people, you'll get a second entry. So Kels, I'm gonna just talk about start, scale, exit, repeat. Anytime, Kels. All right. So I just wanna give a shout out to Colin Campbell. He's the author of Start, Scale, Exit, Repeat. He put this book together over a 10-year time period. He interviewed 200 people. And he wants to show how you can start a business, scale it, exit, and repeat. And he's done this multiple times. So in the book, it's almost like a reference guide. You can go through the start process, then leads to the scale process, exit, and repeat. So If you're interested in this book, and by the way, I think it became number one in 15 different categories on Amazon, and it's published by Forbes, you can just go to Amazon. You can get the soft, hard, or the Kindle, and it's also available on Audible. All right, now let's get back to business. Okay, I saw the comment section moving quite a bit. So yeah, there's a bunch of people already scheduled for that. So one more time, because there are a lot of listeners on here right now. It's hashtag Wheel of Kelsey, tag two people to enter for the prize at the top of the hour. All right, we just talked about beer advertisements. Now let's talk about getting, I mean, you're telling this story at, I think it was BDS, somewhere about the empty box. All right. Yeah. How do you get positive reviews on a bloody empty box?
So it's a gag gift. And we've actually sold a number of these. But it's a complete joke product that somebody goes in and they buy it because they want to feel funny. So rather than writing our listing talking about how amazing the quality of the box is, that it's going to hold up for years to come. People don't care if it holds up for years to come. They care if it lasts for the joke to be made. And so the way that we present it is, when you buy this product, you are going to be the funniest person in the room. Everyone is going to be laughing with you. Be the hero of the party, however you want to phrase it. And like, that's how the entire listing is written. And so when people buy this, they then take it to a party, they give it away, and people laugh. And they think, they told me this is what was going to happen. And we've gone back and we've looked at the reviews that we have, and they word for word repeat what we put in our bullet points, what we put in our description, what we have in our photos. Because if people who are buying it, they're getting the exact response they want from it, and then they're just repeating what we said. Like, we have, I think it's right now 4.8 stars with, I don't know, maybe 3,000 ratings for an empty box. And it's because people are going into it and they're seeing exactly what they want. So that's where the emotional copy for any product that you're doing, if you can make it so that like the number one thing they're going to want to feel when they buy it happens, and you can guarantee that every single time, that's going to show up in the reviews that people leave. And people are going to leave more reviews than they would have otherwise. We have a higher review rate on that product, or well, on those products, than we do on a lot of our other ones. Because people are so happy to talk about how they were right to buy this. People like to feel like they've made the right choice. And if you can tell them in the copy, this is why you're making the right choice, and then it gets reinforced, they're going to come back and review.
That's interesting. I think it was in Kevin King's newsletter. I think it was, but last week or the week before, I saw something about the Pet Rock.
Yeah,
coming back. Do you remember? You're not old enough to remember the.
I remember Pet Rocks.
Do you?
I do.
Now think about that. There you go. It's not an empty box, but it's a rock. Right. And you pay $10 for it.
Right. Well, now you have to pay at least $20 because the cost of shipping has gone up. But
oh my gosh. And $10 was back in the 70s, I think. Yeah, it's got to be back in the 70s. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But they did it. And it's also like, when we talk about this stuff, I love this sort of marketing. Remember the guy, this goes back, I think it was in the 90s, that was selling computer real estate, and he was selling a pixel of real estate.
Yeah.
And you'd have to pay X number of dollars, and you could buy multiple pixels, at a quantity break, but he made a ton of cash selling these bloody pixels online.
And it's just, it makes no sense. Well, that's the fun thing. It's like you can sell anything. If you can find the right way to market it, you can sell anything.
Sorry, I'm coughing up a storm here.
Oh, you're good.
Lucky I have mute. But you're absolutely right. You can sell anything to anybody with the right copy. And by reinforcing what they're going to get, there's something called buyer's remorse. Mm-hmm. And that can happen anytime with an impulse buy. You walk away from shopping, you know, one of the stores, and maybe you bought, you know, two or three extra chocolate bars, or it could be something that was oversold. It could be a car that you bought, but there is something that is human nature. You get oversold and then you regret it. And then instead of getting that five-star review, you get a one, two, or three-star. It might not be the worst thing, but you felt a little bit of pressure. So you feel resentful and you leave a review. And by doing what you just said, telling people exactly what they're going to experience, they're not going to give you a bad review for that. Right. They're going to give you a positive review.
Yep.
I love it. I think that, do you have any other examples of this?
As far as like real products or?
Yeah. Do you know of any others that come to the top of your head?
All the unicorn products that came out, like the unicorn farts, the unicorn poop.
Yeah.
And they're just selling like marshmallows. Or cotton or something like that, where it's all in the branding and making you feel like that sense of whimsy, that sense of fantasy, where you're getting something that you know is not a real thing, but you're willing to pay money for it to have the experience of owning it, because it's something that you're going to feel like it makes you feel happy to have it.
You know, I can give another example of what I see. So I like talking about perceived value. Mm-hmm. And if you have the proper product, a lot of new sellers don't give it the perceived value it deserves. And so they put it out there at a lower ticket price, mostly competing with Chinese manufacturers selling direct. And all they're doing is trading dollars. But if they were to take a look at the different tiers, the different levels of pricing, you could probably sell a higher perceived value. I call it in their top tier, the third tier, which sells the highest. And if not, maybe higher second tier, but you know what you could sell for, but you don't justify the product. But the thing is, I guess my point is, if you do it the opposite way and you have a bad product with high perceived value, that's going to lead directly to buyer's remorse. Yes. And, Ben, I was on the pod. I don't know if it was this podcast or another podcast. I've told Kevin this story, if he's still listening, but this Amazon package came in and it was beard oil. So I was different beard oils, and it was a higher priced beard oil. And it came in a burlap bag. So I said, oh, let's do an unboxing. And I opened this up and it literally smelled like a barn. So I don't know where they were packaging it, but it smelled horrible. And then I put this beard oil on, right? I didn't recognize, but I don't know why I didn't. It must have just, over the period of the hour, started to smell funky. And my wife came down after the podcast, she gave me a hug. And she said, I smelled like a rotten fish. It was, it does. And so there's definitely a one star. I don't usually give reviews, and I didn't give a review for that one. I don't like doing that, but it was horrible. I just won't ever buy that product again. And that is buyer's resentment, not only because it was a flawed product, but I paid more money than I normally would on some.
Right. Oil.
That's my rabbit hole. You know, Kelsey told you I'd go down a couple of rabbit holes. Well, there's one.
here's a rabbit hole for you then.
All right.
One of the first private label products that we sold, we were looking, and people were buying it for like, it was like, I mean, we'll call it a paper plate, but it's a similar product. And people were buying a 500 pack for $30. And we're looking at it, we're like, but why do people need 500 of these? There's no reason for them to do that. So we put a 100 pack of them up for $19.99. And people went crazy. And we're selling, I mean, over 100, 200 of these a day. And it was just because the perceived value of it, they perceived that they were saving $10. So they only needed 100, they only needed 50. They had an opportunity to buy something that filled their need and didn't go all the way up to the cost of the other ones. So it didn't matter that they were getting 400 more of them. There was no value for those for them. We could have still probably sold them for $25 and people still would have bought them. Because until you get to that point where that the gap in the price and the value matches up, you can sell it for whatever you want. And you know, so finding the like gaps in the market like that gives you an opportunity. And if you do that, don't like look at the perceived value like you're talking about, because people aren't just buying 100 pack of what you're selling. They're also buying the $10 that they would have spent on the other one.
You know, on the Marketing Misfits podcast, Kevin and I were talking the other day, and we both sold bully sticks. Yeah. So I sold more of the traditional odorless bully stick, and he did something that was really cool. And I remember seeing this the first time I met him. He was talking about this, and it was his bully sticks. I was selling 12 packs, 24 packs. He was selling 3 packs of this, of these bully sticks, these gourmet bully sticks that he was selling like for $50, $54. Yeah. And they were prepared by a guy that was, he was a French chef, he was trained as a French chef, and he built this all into his copy so he could get 54, and I was getting for a 12 pack, I think 20 something, 29 bucks. But people were paying because of the copy, because of the story that he was telling, he was able to get that 54 bucks. Absolutely. Was genius. It was really smart.
Yeah, I've heard that story from him before. That's a great, I mean, it was a brilliant strategy and great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, this is what we've been talking about today. You know, how you can build your copy around emotion. Build it so you're talking about, you're at the same level of perception that you want the price to exhibit, you know. And I also noticed we got a couple of questions here too, Kels. Why don't we get into those?
Okay. So first question here. Is from CoolHand99. So am I understanding correctly that keywords are losing their relevance to the relevance of images?
No, I wouldn't say that.
No.
I mean, keywords are still going to be very, very relevant. The images are getting more access to help with keywords, but it's still just keywords. Like keywords anywhere in your listing are incredibly valuable, then they're not losing their value or relevance.
Yeah, I think we were just pointing out that the algorithm is understanding the images better. And if you go to an app and see what those what the relevance is or what it's picking up, and there's lots of apps out there that'll do this, you can see what, let's say it's a keyword that you didn't think of, or possibly a category. You know, you can push that into your copy somewhere. You can add more information, but you just want to make sure that the keywords or what you're trying to highlight in that image, let's say it's something in the bullet point, that you are targeting it properly. I think I said that right.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, and a second question from Cool Hand. Also, I may have missed this, but how can you be sure the images are being classified correctly? Is there a tool or a report for that?
Absolutely. First, you could just type it into Google, but give me a second here. Just go into my bookmarks. And of course, I just wiped this computer. Kels, I'll put it in the group, but I've got a couple of apps that I use, and I'll throw them into the WhatsApp group right after this.
Okay, So next question is from Steve. I missed a couple minutes of the podcast. Can you please tell us who can ask Q&As, those that are not related to your account?
Anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it's not against TOS to ask your fish. I mean, it could be anybody.
Okay, and from Brad, you are correct. We should not depend only on keywords. We added relevant keywords like solar flashlight and torchlight to our product, which is now wrongly indexed as solar ground light on Amazon.
Yeah, that can happen when you, like, not that saying solar flashlight is over keyword stuffing, but if you start throwing in ones that are only peripherally relevant, then you'll end up indexing for a lot of stuff that it does not matter, and that'll hurt the value of your broad campaigns and your auto campaigns and anything else you're running from the advertising side as well.
You know, when you were talking about lining up the keywords 1, 2, 3, and 4, are you talking about doing that within the title?
We do it throughout the entire listing.
All right. Yeah. So you're putting together a phrase and trying not to repeat, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, since I was using paper cups as an example earlier, like saying double wall hot paper cups or something like that, where it's like people are searching for that 5-word phrase, but they're also searching for the individual phrases inside of it.
Okay. All right. I got it.
Okay. And our last question is from Beard Mimic. Are keywords in Q&A, do they hold more weight than in the title?
That is debatable. It depends on who you ask. Like, there are, like I said, I was told by somebody that Amazon is, like, from an Amazon Sciences paper, they saw that Amazon was valuing the QA more than the regular listing after 6 or so months. I haven't been able to find that Amazon Sciences paper to verify that. So I would just say that they're both very highly relevant, and I don't know which is, which I would say holds more weight.
And it's interesting. I'd be interested to hear the response from any of the listeners, whether this just shook your world. You know, when you think of putting together a Q&A, a lot of people don't even think of that, and finding out that it you know, could hold some considerable weight. Are you guys doing it? Yes or no? Okay, so I think that was the end of the questions. We have one last shout out. Kelsey, want to run that sponsorship, and then we'll come right back with Ben. Facing cash flow challenges with your e-commerce business? Discover Viably, your ultimate financial ally. From real-time sales data integrations to immediate funding access, Viably is here to support you. Plan your growth with their free tool for online sellers and engage with specialists whenever you need. Extend your cash flow with Viably. I see Steve had a follow-up here.
Yeah, he says, I meant you cannot do it yourself. It has to be someone from not your account. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yes.
Yeah, you can be the seller. And it's very important that as the seller, you're responding.
Right,
other as people the seller. Other people can respond, but this will work if you're the seller. Okay, let's see. Oh, I thought Marsha was bringing in a question. All right, sir, are you going to BDSS?
I'm not able to this year, unfortunately. It's I already had a family trip that falls on the same week. But I wish I could. It sounds absolutely incredible. Like, I know a lot of the speakers going, and I've heard some of what Kevin has planned for it. And it seems like it's going to be an incredible event.
Yeah, and level up afterwards. So that's going to be curious. That's going to be a first.
Absolutely.
So that'll be cool. So next year then.
We'll see. Well, I think this is the first one I'll have missed.
I think so. Like, I see it all of them.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Contact information. How do we get a hold of you if we want to give you some work?
So I really should create a LinkedIn profile or something at some point. I'm far too lazy with social media. So I think I have a Facebook profile still. So if you find the one with a picture of a house with Benjamin Weber, that's me.
All right. There you go. And that's like me. I don't have a website. But yeah, no social media present. Congratulations, by the way. All right. I'll give you 30 seconds before we go to the Wheel of Kelsey. So hashtag Wheel of Kelsey, or tag two people and you'll get entered into this, into the wheel today. And I know there's already a ton of people. So if you want, get your entry in right now. And I think that's it. I'm just going to mention this quickly while we wait for people. Don't forget, on May the 1st, Kevin and I are going to be having the Marketing Misfits AI for e-commerce summit. And we've got 18 incredible speakers, a lot of them you've never heard of because they're working in the background that to make these apps and to get these things going. So Kelsey's got it down. Kelsey will put the link in, but it's marketingmisfits.co, and you can register. And already we launched it yesterday. We've got 500 people that have registered. Nice. Okay, so let's go to the wheel, Kels.
It's time for the Wheel of Kelsey.
All right. Oh, it looks like it stalled. And Kels, you're muted.
Am I still here?
You're still, yep. But the wheel is having some technical difficulties. All right, who won? It's silent today.
Okay, sorry. I think it must be glitching or something. It's fine on my end, but I'm going to shuffle it up. I am spinning it. I don't know what you can see on your side.
You can hear it. You can hear it.
All right, and it looks like Drip is today's winner.
All right, Drip. Congrats. That's a great prize. So if you're interested, or not if you're interested, Drip, get Kelsey your information at k@lunchwithnorm.com. All right, sir. Thank you for being on today.
Want more great information? Don't forget to subscribe by clicking here. Also, if you want to check out our latest podcasts, click over here. Lunch with the Norm.